congratulations to Pastor Matt here upon graduating from Lutheran Brethren Seminary. Let's hear it for Pastor Matt. Yeah. Pastor Matt also wants to give you a helpful tip. Periodically, you might want to turn on your vehicle to preserve battery, to defog your windows, as we are here today. So, I'd like to begin our service today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's hear this call to worship from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now let us come on and pray our hearts and pray to worship this moment of silence and the tolling of the bell. Stavanger Lutheran Church, today we have prepared two praise and worship songs. You will see the lyrics printed in your bulletin. We'll begin with Holy, Holy, Holy.
Voices together and praise the Lord.
Song shall rise.
church, please join me in a moment of prayer. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, call upon you. You have given us grace to know you, the eternal Trinity. Grant us faith to believe as we call upon your name. This Sunday, we lay our lives before you with simple faith. We confess, Lord, that we sometimes lower you to a place in our thoughts, words, and deeds that is less than the cornerstone. We confess that we sometimes give up hope and fail to call out to you in our distress. We confess that our lives do not always reflect the victory and power of your resurrection. And we confess that the sin that often overtakes us. We acknowledge your mercy and your grace today, and we celebrate. We know that we have no ability to save ourselves. Dear Lord, help us to see our circumstances the way that you do. Help us to see the world the way that you do. To question, but to not grow bitter. To acknowledge the hard things, but to press on with endurance. Remind us, Lord, that our times are in your hands, and that we can trust you. We know that you are working out your purposes in the world. We will trust and not be afraid. So, Lord, we repent of our sins. We turn from them and we turn to you this morning, calling on you. We lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways we acknowledge you. Our God, you counsel us not to be anxious about earthly things. So, Lord, remind us that we are people of hope, a people who trust in your promises. Our hope is in you, Lord, and in this we find strength. Lord, in the midst of uncertainty, in these days of distress, help us to remain steadfast. Your word says in Psalm 30, verse 5, though sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. And so with great joy we praise your name, and we look forward to hearing your word today. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. Lord, today we pray for our loved ones. We pray for our friends and family, the members of Stavanger who are ill, who are dealing with health struggles, battling illnesses. Lord, we intercede for them today. Show them your mercy, Lord. May they find rejoicing in their hour of trial. Father, we trust in your mercy and then rejoice in your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all the people say, Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you for joining me for prayer. And now, it is my great pleasure to invite Pastor John Jewell for today's sermon.
One announcement else I want to make before proceeding to the sermon is that we have the Stavanger Call Committee has met and interviewed a candidate as our next associate pastor, and has recommended that he come and preach for the congregation, and I've just confirmed with him last night that he is able to come next Sunday, June 14th. His name is Eric Smith. He'll be starting his studies at Lutheran Brethren Seminary this fall, moving to Fergus Falls. He'll be in Mayville, North Dakota, helping out the church up there with pulpit supply and interim ministry during the summer months. But he had next Sunday free before moving up there, so we're glad to have him. So please spread the word and in prayer for the call committee and Eric Smith as we discern God's leading in his life and the future ministry of Stone. Our sermon text is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 8. Reading from the pre-2011 NIV translation, as for this particular psalm, I believe it is a better translation and how it corresponds with its quotation in the New Testament. And so I read from Psalm 8 in Jesus' name. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man, that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we do pray that now in the preaching of your word, your majesty would be declared, even as it is seen in the works of your fingers around us. Put our ears, Lord, our hearts to receive your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Been a hard week. It's been a hard few weeks. It's been a hard few months. A hard year. I look at the news and I'm saddened, angered, frustrated, dismayed, wondering, could it get worse? And realizing, yes, it could. Left feeling kind of small with things going on around that are way beyond my control. Consider other times and what human beings have faced, endured, gone through. I'm somewhat a buff of the NASA Apollo space program and the history around that. And I was particularly reminded this week of the Apollo 8 mission. And just for review, the Apollo program of which was the big goal laid out by President John F. Kennedy in the early 60s, that by the end of the decade to put a man on the moon and return him safely to Earth. This was about exploration and science, but to be honest, it was the Cold War. The Soviets had beaten the Americans time and time again, putting Sputnik in orbit, the first man in orbit, the first spacewalk. On it goes. The only thing left was the moon. And the U.S. was determined to win that race. In early 1967, there was a terrible setback, a terrible tragedy on the launch pad during a routine drill. The crew of Apollo 1 was killed in a fire inside the capsule due to design flaws and other problems. And so they grounded all manned flights for 18 months. And so 1968 comes around and the program is hopelessly behind. The lunar module that was actually to set down on the surface of the moon was way behind development. They were redesigning the command module to make it safe and work. And all this was going on, and the Russians were still threatening to get to the moon first. But that wasn't the only problem in 1968. The country endured one shock after another. As I said, it was in the midst of the Cold War, the threat of nuclear conflict and annihilation. And then the actual hot war of Vietnam was escalating. And in protests back home, sometimes violent against the war, the country was being torn apart. And if that wasn't enough, civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. And not long after that, presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy was also assassinated. Race riots broke out in cities across the U.S. There was chaos at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. The country was being torn apart at the seams. And in the midst of that, decisions were made at NASA to do something bold to get the space program back on track. They decided, instead of doing a mission in Earth orbit with the lunar module to practice docking and things like that, they decided to send a crew to the moon and back, not to land, but to circle it, orbit around it, and come back to test the navigation and communication systems and to get the program back on track. It was a risky proposal. One of the engineers gave it a 50-50 chance of succeeding. But Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Bill Anders climbed into the Apollo command module and took off and went to the moon. For the first time, human beings had left the gravitational field of Earth and had gone to another object in our solar system. In the midst of all this turmoil in the nation, in the world, the eyes were fixed on the moon. And these three astronauts, these three human beings that were circling it, they thought the moon was the goal, and they saw for the first time the dark side of the moon. Human eyes laid eyes on it. But the most incredible thing took them by surprise. It was the sight of the Earth rising over the surface of the moon. This blue marble hanging out in the dark vastness of space. Humanity's home. All the turmoil, all the conflict that human beings were engaged in seemed so small from that perspective. The astronauts returned safely, were regarded as heroes, even The state newspaper in the Soviet Union published an editorial praising the astronauts for their courage and daring. For just a moment, people took their eyes off of everything else and looked up. And there was this moment of peace, of unity across the planet. Of all the accolades received by the astronauts and Frank Borman, the commander of the mission, the one that meant the most to him was a telegram from a stranger. It had four words on it. Thanks. You saved 1968. During that mission, it was over Christmas Eve as they circled the moon. And as they described the surface of the moon on a Christmas Eve broadcast that was the largest audience around the world, the three astronauts read from Genesis chapter 1, one of our passages for this Sunday. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For just a moment, humanity was directed toward the Maker of heaven and earth. And three human beings had a new perspective on what God had made as they looked at their home in the solar system from afar. The psalmist here helps us to see God. David writes, O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. When I consider your heavens, the work of the fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, the heavens declare the glory of God, as it states in Psalm 19. In Romans chapter 1, we're told that God has revealed himself by what he has made. When we stop to look at the grandeur of creation, the expanse of the universe, we realize how big God is and how small we are. February 14th, 1990, the spacecraft Voyager had explored the solar system and was now leaving the solar system. And at the urging of famous astronomer Carl Sagan, they turned it around to have it take one last picture. They called it a family picture of our solar system, capturing images of the planets from afar. And Earth, from some 4 billion miles away, appeared as a pale blue dot, just a speck in this vast sea of space. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him. God in his greatness can be seen in the greatness of what he has created. And yet, he chooses to declare his greatness, his praise, through things that are small. Human beings, whom he has also created, who he set over as stewards, as managers of this creation. And we have failed at that all the way back in Eden, mismanaging our place in God's creation. And yet he still chooses what is small, what is lowly, to reveal himself. It says here in Psalm 8, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. And Jesus, when he had made his way to Jerusalem for Holy Week and the days leading up to the cross, children were shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And those who opposed Jesus wanted those children silenced. Yeah, Jesus references this. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Those who do not oppose him in their pride, but receive him and declare him for who he is, the rightful king of the universe, the rightful king of humanity, of each of our hearts. The heavens declare the glories of God. We see him in the great, we see him in the small, as he declares his praise through the likes of us. Yet because we don't praise him as we ought, as human beings, he himself, who though he was himself God, Jesus, did not consider equality with something, God, something to be grasped, something to be held on to. He made himself small. The one who is larger than the billions and billions of miles in space made himself small. An infant who grew into a man who lived the life that we failed to live. He made himself small by allowing himself to be humiliated, to be nailed to a cross, to give his life as a ransom for you and I. And because he did so, he is now exalted of the universe. It took a perspective from the moon, looking back on Earth, in the eyes of at least one person, to consider the year 1968 to have been saved. And yet that moment of awe and wonder passed, and humans went back to doing what they've been doing since they were expelled from the garden. And what they continue, what we continue to do today. It took more than an Apollo moon mission to save this world. And so indeed, Jesus came, made himself small for us, gave his life for us, for you. And that's what we celebrate today. It's what we declare today because of the work of his Spirit in us, who has given us faith to believe that the great one who made himself small, through whom the whole universe was created, is indeed our Savior. He will save more than this year. He is the Savior of the world. And so as our world seems to come apart around us, we look to him, we praise him, because he is worthy, and he is the one who saves. And so today we gather at his table to receive the benefits of this salvation which he has won for us. His body, his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for having mercy on us and sending Jesus. Lord, may we not lose heart, may we not be dismayed when we see the nations rage, when we see hatred and destruction. May we continue to praise you in our words and our deeds. guide us by your Spirit to live as redeemed people in these troubled times. And hang on to the hope that you give us in Jesus crucified and risen. That one day we may be lifted above all of the effects of sin once and for all. So Lord, help us to receive this meal in faith and receive strength from the journey until that day you return and call us home. I pray this, Jesus, in your name.